Hello, everyone. Patriot Underground here. So before we begin the show, I wanted to take a quick moment to remind everybody to check out PatriotSwitch.com. Click the link in the description and begin your journey making the switch to purchasing your personal and household products from a patriotic company who shares your value system and doesn't funnel your money directly into evil operations that are designed to destroy us. This is a no-brainer, folks. I made the switch and I couldn't be happier. And as I said, I only come out and support something that I personally use and believe in. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, enjoy the show. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is March 23rd, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So tonight I'm going to provide a situation analysis report, and we're going to do a deep dive on this Trump arrest that, of course, did not happen. I happen to think that this was a beta test, and I'm going to explain why. And we're also going to talk about the other pending cases against Trump, because anybody out there who thinks that this was the last opportunity or the last shot that they were going to take at Trump is sorely mistaken. I happen to think that this was just a test to gauge public reaction. So let's dive into it. I'm going to talk about some other issues tonight. We're going to get into the latest on the Russia-Ukraine war and many other things. So hopefully you folks will enjoy this episode. Now, I happen to think that it's very clear this was a deep state test to gauge public reaction to a Trump arrest. They had a massive MSM presence outside the court building, and the White Hats knew all along, folks, that this was coming. Not only that, I do believe that Trump and the White Hats knew about this exculpatory evidence that just suddenly appeared out of nowhere. They were waiting for the right time to release it. This is just another scene in this pantomime. And it's also very likely that the DA, Alvin Bragg, also knew about this exculpatory evidence and was attempting to keep the evidence hidden. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But clearly, this guy is being used as a puppet by the enemy. And just like all the other DA puppets that we've seen, his job is not to fight crime and to actually press charges against violent criminals. No, it was to bring charges against Trump by any means necessary. And once again, we have an investigation that comes up with nothing. So what's happening with this whole situation is that we have yet another scene in this movie that is putting the two-tiered injustice system on full display. Normies are looking at this. They're seeing a pattern forming, folks. Now, obviously, there are the hardcore Trump haters that we're never, ever going to reach, that maybe 8 to 10% of the people who are just too far gone. But a lot of people who had been paying attention to mainstream media back in 2020 and gradually have been moving and shifting into the alternative space, looking for actual truthful information, realizing that they're being lied to. This is who this movie is for. The normies. They're seeing this and they're identifying that this really is just another extension of this never-ending political witch hunt, as Trump points out. And he also pointed out in his posts on Truth Social that New York City is experiencing record crime rates. And it's not even safe to walk down the street. And so, meanwhile, we have a DA, like I said, one of many, who campaigned specifically on the promise to indict Trump and produced a nothing burger. And you have to ask yourself, at what point are the sleepers going to grow tired of this incessant obsession with Trump? And really, that's the larger question here. The world is headed toward nuclear war on the surface in terms of the optics right now. Not only that, the banking system is collapsing, trains are derailing, balloons are appearing in the sky, supposedly spy balloons, UFO motherships, according to the MSM, are supposedly sending out craft to prep for a false flag alien invasion. I mean, folks, it's just crazier and crazier with every passing day. Not only that, the narrative preparation for yet another plandemic is building with every passing day. And yet, amidst all of this, we see a blatantly political attack on a former president, something that is completely unprecedented. the sleepers are yet again being reminded that only the actions of Trump seem to interest this crooked system. And all of this is happening parallel to the Trump-led congressional investigations. And I say Trump-led because I think we all know who's really controlling the House right now. These investigations, which the mainstream media, for the most part, are downplaying, if not outright ignoring. So my take is that this scenario was more theater to expose the two-tiered system, as an increasing amount of exposure of deep state criminality is spilling out into the public consciousness. And this was also a beta test, as I mentioned before. I think it's naive to think that this is over at this stage, because since the moment he announced his candidacy, way back in 2015, the enemy has been trying to arrest Trump. And with the stakes rising every day and an election looming on the horizon, do you really think that this is their last attempt? It absolutely is not. And I'm going to explain specifically what they're going to try to go after him for a little bit later in the show. Now, despite the admission from Cohen himself, the mainstream media is reporting that the grand jury is going to reconvene Friday to hear additional evidence from additional witnesses. So you see, this never really stops. It's just an ongoing political witch hunt, as Trump has said, and more people are starting to figure this out. And the mainstream media is basically ignoring the letter which exposed Trump's innocence. But for those out there who think that this is the last possibility for a Trump arrest, for those out there who are skeptical that this is ever going to happen, you need to ask yourself some really important questions. Now, obviously, it is possible that we won't see a Trump arrest. At this stage, folks, anything is possible. And I do believe that this is very likely to happen. You didn't forget about the Mar-a-Lago raid, did you? Right now, there are four government-led open investigations into Trump and or his businesses and his family members. And the Stormy Daniels hush money campaign finance law hoax is only one, the weakest probably of the four cases that I'm aware of that are open on Trump right now. So we've got that one. We've also got in Georgia, the Fulton County DA is considering charges against Trump for attempting to overturn the election results there, which will expose the theft led by Stacey Abrams if they move forward. And then, of course, in New York State, not New York City, New York City was the jurisdiction for the Stormy Daniels case, but in New York State, the New York State Attorney General is backing a civil suit alleging that the Trump Organization lied to lenders and insurers about its assets. And then there's the biggie, the national case. The DOJ, as we know, has appointed a special counsel to investigate two broad areas. The first one, the classified documents that were found during the Mar-a-Lago raid. And the second revolves around supposedly Trump's efforts to interfere with the 2020 election. And the beauty of this one is that they're investigating Trump for what they're guilty of, setting up the flip or the reversal event, as we call it. So not only are they not letting the New York City case go yet, the enemy is gearing up for charges that could bring an arrest in multiple areas and on multiple levels. And it's still possible that they might pull out more fraudulent quote-unquote witnesses to keep the case alive in New York City. At least that's what the mainstream media seems to be reporting, so that they can prosecute Donald Trump for accounting fraud, for campaign finance violations, anything that they can get to stick, they're going to try. Now let's examine these other investigations, because certainly we've heard a lot about the Stormy Daniels case over the past few days. Now the Georgia case centers around Trump's call to Secretary of State Raffensperger, where he allegedly was pressuring him to commit election fraud by saying that he needed 11,000 additional votes, when in reality, Trump knew and could see in real time the actual fraud occurring specifically in Fulton County. and he was telling Raffensperger to do his job. Now, of course, this could lead to election violation charges. It could lead to charges for threatening public officials and racketeering, which alleges that Trump was running a criminal enterprise operating to break the law, which, of course, we know all of this is nonsense, folks, but I'm just laying out what they're attempting to go after this guy for, which, if convicted, could carry a serious prison sentence. And by the way, a decision about that case moving forward, I'm told, is imminent. Now, the New York State case alleges that Trump and his organization committed fraud by inflating the values of assets, including properties, to acquire loans and to benefit his business interests. And what they're trying to do is hurt Trump financially by imposing a real estate purchasing ban for 5 years and prohibiting him and any of his family members from conducting business in New York. And that trial is set for October. And so that brings us to the biggie. The DOJ special counsel, which is a set of two investigations. Interference with the 2020 election and presidential transfer of power that led to the January 6th quote-unquote attack on the Capitol. And then the second investigation, of course, has to do with possession of classified docs found at Mar-a-Lago. And by the way, the special counsel's name is Jack Smith, who apparently is a former chief prosecutor at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. I remember that point for a little bit later in the show. So let's examine the potential charges stemming from January 6th, that false flag event, that are being quote-unquote recommended by the House on Select Committee. The first one is obstruction of an official proceeding for the delay in certification of the election results by supposedly inciting an attack on the Capitol. The second is a conspiracy to defraud the United States, which alleges that Trump was leading an organized effort to defraud the public with repeated lies about the 2020 election. Even though, of course, we all know that it was stolen, we all watched it happen. You have to be brain dead to think that Joe Biden won that election, but that doesn't matter, folks. We all understand that that facts do not matter to these people. They are going after Trump because Trump is standing in the way of who they're really going after, and that's all of us, as he's pointed out many times famously. Now, the third thing they're trying to pin on him is inciting and aiding in an insurrection. And they're claiming that Trump is guilty of aiding an insurrection because he didn't make a statement telling his supporters to stop, even though he did. He told people to go home in peace. But according to them, he incited this whole riot at the Capitol, and he didn't do anything to stop it in time before people started getting hurt, people started dying, on and on and on. And not only that, there are reports indicating that this special counsel is moving forward to charge Trump with using his Save America PAC to raise millions of dollars by spreading lies about 2020. You see, they've got a wide-ranging battle plan, legal battle plan, to go after Trump. Now, this could potentially include wire fraud. It could include money laundering for misleading donors and using the PAC not to promote a cause, but for individual profit. Now, of course, this is outrageous on its face, but again, that doesn't matter. So that brings us to the Mar-a-Lago raid, which undoubtedly happened in part because of the failure of the Unselect Committee to come up with anything on Trump, especially now that the January 6th tapes have been released, which the deep state knew would happen eventually. So they went into Mar-a-Lago on a fishing expedition. And even though the entire operation backfired massively in terms of exposing Biden and Obama and Pence, they plan to proceed with politically motivated charges nevertheless, including mishandling and unauthorized retention of classified material, national security documents. And that's potentially two separate charges. And the second one is obstruction. They want to charge Trump for attempting to hide what the government was supposedly looking for during that raid, even though he invited the FBI into his home to search his residence. He cooperated at every single level, and despite all that, they raided his home to create a spectacle, as we know. Now, while there's no set date for any potential charges, the fact that Trump has already announced his candidacy for 2024 is effectively forcing them to accelerate the process. Sounds familiar, right? Because there is a massive legal precedent not to charge a presidential candidate during an election year. So if they're going to make a move, they need to do it quick. Certainly before 2024, which, as we all know, again, is an election year. So don't be fooled, folks. The possibility of a Trump arrest is alive and well and very, very much on the table. Now let's connect this to the Q drops and some very thought-provoking intel from Q the Storm Rider on what we might see transpire moving forward. Now, if you go back to the probably the most famous drops of all, 3716 and 3717, talking about the first arrest that's going to shock the world and the first unsealed indictment that's going to trigger a mass population awakening. Those two drops are identical, and they were posted simultaneously back on December 17th of 2019 with a timestamp of 5:03 and 45 seconds, which seems to suggest that 45, Donald J. Trump, could be the target. It also seems to suggest the possibility that Trump will be arrested twice. Why else would Q post this identical drop twice, pointing to Trump arrests? And then we have to ask ourselves, well, how could that even be possible? Now, Q the Storm Rider recently indicated in one of his recent intel drops that Trump would face military arrest for crimes against humanity. Now, think about it, folks. What's Trump's biggest liability? Of course, it's endorsing the vaccine. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why did he do it? And certainly, there's been a lot of conversation about that. I've made entire podcasts on that exact question. But why did he do it? What was the end result? And then, if, of course, he actually does get brought up on charges for crimes against humanity, if he is arrested and has to face a military tribunal, how does he defend himself? And then what happens in the process? Now, let's go back a little bit to examine this issue in some detail, because I think a lot of folks out there may be scratching their head wondering how I could possibly be talking about Donald Trump facing a military tribunal. But let's unpack this and think it through. Remember that Trump was invited to run for president. He's mentioned that many times. The White Hats approached him. Not sure exactly when, but they did approach him to be the public face of this military sting operation. Now, the alliance, due to NSA and DIA surveillance, knew about this plandemic a long time ago. They knew that the deep state was going to try to use a virus as a vehicle to lock down the world and then subsequently introduce a bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. Now, the problem is, or was, I should say, that at that time, most of the world, probably 65 to 70% of the majority of people out there, believed two things that would have caused military intervention to backfire massively. The first, mainstream media. And the second is that the vaccine was the only solution to the virus. And because of that, they couldn't intervene because to do so, especially given the politically divided nature of the country as it was, would have caused massive chaos and arguably could have led to civil war. So under these circumstances, how do you proceed if you can't intercede without triggering violence? The alliance needed to remain covert, but they also needed to save as many lives as possible. And not only that, at that time, the enemy had other threat vectors in play. I happen to believe that they had, let's just call them, weapons of mass destruction of some kind and in some form ready to be deployed if the White Hats tried to stop them. And I also think that it's possible that the deep state coerced the White Hats and Trump into endorsing and going along with the vaccine agenda under the threat of a WMD release. Both sides knew that they couldn't mandate it at the government level. They could only do an EUA. But they could push the mandates through the private sector. So Trump and the White Hats realized, for all of these reasons, that they couldn't oppose the vaccine agenda, but at the same time, they had to derail it somehow to save as many lives as possible. So what if they concocted a strategy that they knew the deep state couldn't oppose, optically, to fast-track the entire process with Operation Warp Speed? The White Hats knew that if Trump came out full steam in support of the vaccine agenda under EUA with Operation Warp Speed, that the deep state would have no way of opposing it because the public was afraid. And a majority of the people supported the idea of getting a vaccine out as quickly as possible. Not only that, the White Hats also knew that Q, the grassroots movement, would spread the truth about the jab and would also save millions of lives in the process. And so the deep state plan, we go back and we remember what they wanted and what they didn't get because of Operation Warp Speed, it ties right into this puzzle. The deep state plan was to keep the world locked down for years, to devastate the economy, and to eliminate a massive portion of the population in the process. Not only that, they were going to release far more dangerous pathogens during this period as well. And then once the world had been brought to its knees in utter desperation, they were planning to introduce the bioweapon kill shot to complete their depopulation agenda. So the White Hat strategy, optically, was to go along with the vaccine agenda, but to push it out so fast that the deep state would have to scramble to manufacture the bioweapon for worldwide implementation and rollout, a job that they had planned to have years to perfect. And so as a result of Operation Warp Speed, the bioweapon that they produced was not perfected, and hence far less lethal than they wanted. And not only that, given the accelerated timeline of Operation Warp Speed, they couldn't manufacture as many toxic jabs as they had planned to. The White Hat's forced acceleration of the jab production timeline resulted in only about 5 to 10% of what they had intended to produce. And my understanding is that for the rest, they used saline because they still needed the money to keep the fiat system, the economy, and of course the payoffs going, the bribery. And so that's what they did. Meanwhile, Trump put the military in charge of jab distribution, knowing that they could prevent the deep state from objecting to the accelerated timeline on the grounds that mobilizing that quickly wasn't possible. So Trump announced the military being in charge of distribution, and that the vaccine would be available by the end of the year. He made this announcement on May 14th of 2020, which Fauci said at the time, quote, was a bridge too far. But then if you fast forward 7 months later to the day, on the 14th of December 2020, the first, quote unquote, vaccine was administered under emergency use authorization. So the end result of all this was the rollout of the jab that was less lethal than intended because it hadn't been perfected, which is why they needed boosters. And not only that, the toxic non-saline batches were only about 5 to 10% of what was given to the public. And it's since come out that these were directed to conservative stronghold states, which I happen to believe happened after Trump left office, at least on the surface. So Trump and the White Hats fast-tracked this agenda. And in the process, they saved countless lives. Not only from the vaccine itself, but also from the long economic lockdowns that the deep state was planning that would have been far more devastating. And nevertheless, as we know, millions of people around the world have died suddenly. And optically, Trump endorsed crimes against humanity with Operation Warp Speed that he has to answer for. Now, all of us in the Patriot community have been questioning not only Trump's actions with regard to the jab, but also how this will be explained to the public once the full truth comes out about the vaccine agenda and what's actually in it. And of course, that truth is accelerating with every passing day. Now, this is where it gets even more interesting, and the complexity of this 5D chess match reaches an even deeper level. The question becomes, how does Trump defend himself while at the same time revealing this white hat operation to counter the deep state? How does he explain to an enraged public, once they find out the truth and realize that they were poisoned and their family members were poisoned and killed, how does he handle this? How does he explain to everyone that he had to do this, that he had to go along with an agenda that he knew would kill people in order to save lives? That's a really tough sell. But again, if we go back to Q Drops 3716 and 3717, which are identical, this provides some really interesting clues. They famously discuss the first arrest, the first unsealed indictment, and like I said, both of these drops, being identical, have that 45-second timestamp, which points to Donald J. Trump. So we have to ask ourselves, why would Q post the same drop twice on December 17th, 2019, pointing to a Trump arrest, which now appears, or at least it did appear to be imminent? I happen to believe it still is. But the question here is, could it be possible that Trump will be arrested twice? Now, Q the Storm Rider said in his intel drop that the White Hats, quote, always knew that Trump would eventually face crimes against humanity charges. And he mentions the Nuremberg Code. But then he goes on to say that this was the only way to expose Big Pharma, Fauci, the CDC, etc. And that during that process, that trial, quote, Trump would use full military intel reports and declassified information to expose the deep state within the government and the U.S. military who planned this operation. Now again, all along, there's been that looming question of how this intensely complicated knot of fog of war and disinformation surrounding the COVID vaccine agenda gets untangled. And I happen to believe that it's a very compelling possibility that a second Trump arrest by the world court could force the declass of the Q operation. And Ben Fulford just came out with some intel suggesting that a writ of mandamus had been issued out of Switzerland that named Vladimir Putin, President Xi, and Donald Trump for his participation in Operation Warp Speed. Now, I haven't been able to verify that information, but I also happen to believe that this is some really interesting intel which might be pointing us in the direction of full declass happening at a military tribunal involving the figureheads of this military sting operation, including Putin, Xi, and Donald Trump. Now, it's also very interesting timing considering that we already know an arrest warrant has been issued for Bill Gates and for Putin in the same 17-day period. So as the world increasingly comes to discover the truth about the pandemic, it's going to require that anyone who participated in advancing this agenda be brought to justice. And this will require the public faces of the Q operation, again, Putin, Trump, and Xi, known only to us patriots, of course, to face crimes against humanity charges, right alongside the usual suspects like Bill and Melinda Gates, George Soros, and a laundry list of names that you already know. This would be the ideal opportunity to separate the deep state criminals from the white hats and reveal to everyone in the world exactly what needed to transpire in order to save the world. Not only that, remember Jack Smith's connection to The Hague that I mentioned a little bit earlier. Wouldn't it be interesting if the special counsel charges against Trump led to the exposure of the deep state treasonous plot to overthrow a sitting president, which would constitute actual treason and sedition and spying and blackmail, etc., etc., that could then result in the cabal puppets who engineered this charade facing tribunals for their participation in a coup in addition to crimes against humanity charges. You see, all of this ties together, and Trump is continuing to bait them into charging him so that in the legal proceedings that follow, the reversal event can occur for all the world to see on the biggest stage possible. And I do believe that these pending cases against Trump will develop into legal vehicles to expose not only the criminality of the deep state, but also it's very likely they're going to create a path that the white hats need, which will lead to the declassification of the Q operation on the world stage. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit now, and let's talk about a major development in the Ukraine war. It was just reported that the Russians have encircled Bakhmut, and that the fall of this city is now imminent, after what the MSM is dubbing the bloodiest battle since World War II. And the soldiers actually fighting there have continually referred to Bakhmut as a meat grinder. Now, you have to understand that one of the major reasons that Putin began this military operation in the first place was to stop the ethnic cleansing of Russian-speaking residents of the Donbass, of which Bakhmut is a primary strategic target given its importance in terms of logistics and transport, especially given the intentions of the Russians to liberate other areas of the Donbass that are still under cabal control. But its significance behind the scenes, as we know, is the real story. And given that it's the actual central hub of the underground tunnel systems throughout that region of the world, it makes perfect sense that Zelensky has poured all of his troops into that city and called it a quote-unquote fortress of our morale. But unfortunately for Zelensky, the cabal puppet, reports from the front lines are indicating that Bakhmut has been sealed off by Russian forces and that all avenues into the city are under constant bombardment from Russian artillery, making the task of sending in reinforcements and supplies basically impossible. And you heard Gene Deco talk about this during our most recent interview. So this battle began back in August of last year, and the Russians have been engaging in a war of attrition, essentially, as Gene had explained, gradually grinding down the enemy forces because they knew that the deep state would deploy all assets to defend the tunnel systems, which are vitally important to their illicit revenue streams, especially given the fact that the money laundering centers masquerading as banks were eliminated during the first phase of this incursion by the Spetsnaz. And this is why the enemy had no choice but to commit to the defense of Bakhmut to the last man, as the Russians knew that they would. But after putting up massive resistance, the inevitable appears to have happened. Currently, the Russians control upwards of 70% of the city, and they've encircled it completely, trapping about 10,000 Ukrainian/mercenary personnel inside who are now being forced to fight to the death, with no plans and no ability to retreat. And by the way, as I mentioned before, no supply lines and no reinforcements. It's actually being called the cauldron, because everything that enters gets burned up by Russian artillery. So obviously, this is a major defeat that has implications far beyond anything the mainstream media is going to tell you about. And consequently, as Bakhmut falls, the desperation of the enemy to spark a massive, perhaps nuclear, escalation has prompted a sharp increase in narrative preparation for the false flag event that we're all expecting. In fact, the Wall Street Journal, which is a CIA mouthpiece in the same vein as the New York Times, just came out with an article on that very topic. Now, the article begins saying, quote, "The war in Ukraine has accelerated the unraveling of international arms control architecture painstakingly constructed from the Cold War onward, heightening concern among experts that a new nuclear arms race could emerge as decades of restraint on the numbers of nuclear weapons collapses." You see how they're building the narrative, folks. And then it goes on to say that Putin said last month that Moscow was suspending application of the New START agreement, which was one of the last arms control treaties still in effect, which limited the number of strategic nuclear weapons deployed by Russia and the United States. And that this announcement followed repeatedly thinly veiled threats from Moscow of its readiness to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine. Of course, we all know that it's been the West that has been escalating this rhetoric gradually, and Russia has been responding in kind. And then it goes on to say, some experts say Russia's use of nuclear-capable missiles to deliver conventional warheads in Ukraine has complicated any future arms control negotiations. While ice-cold relations between Washington and Moscow have dimmed hopes that Russia and the U.S. can negotiate a replacement for the New START treaty by the time the current one expires in February 2026. Proliferation concerns are increasing globally, with Iran recently producing near-weapons-grade enriched uranium. Gee, I wonder how that happened. And U.S.-North Korea negotiations over Pyongyang's expanding weapons program stall. There's talk among U.S. allies in South Korea and elsewhere of the need to re-examine their non-nuclear weapons policies in today's more volatile era. So there you have it, folks. They are gearing up this narrative with every passing day. And as they're losing control of their stronghold of Bakhmut, which we know is important to them historically, it's important to them economically, it's important to them spiritually in terms of their Sikh religion. As this is happening and control is slipping away from them, and all of the other disclosure is happening simultaneously that's all tied into Ukraine, ultimately, folks, these are rats on a sinking ship. And the only way that they can escape justice at this point in time, even though it may not appear that way on the surface, is to create a worldwide, and in their hopes, nuclear Armageddon-type scenario. And I do believe that this is going to be essentially the nature of this major scare event that we're going to be witnessing. I don't believe it's going to be the only scare event. In fact, I've talked recently in light of the banking collapse and SVB and the collapse of crypto, how this is leading toward the financial black swan event, which also is going to contribute. But this really is going to be, in my view, the near-death experience. And we are getting closer and closer with every passing day. And if Donald Trump does end up being arrested for criminal charges here in the United States, or if he ends up getting arrested to face a military tribunal for crimes against humanity, you know what the strategy is here. By the way, as I've stated multiple times, this is not the real Donald Trump that we're going to see getting arrested. In fact, I believe that the real Donald Trump hasn't been seen publicly since the outbreak of COVID. So we're going to have to see how all this plays out, folks. But one thing is for sure. We win because God wins. And there is a plan in play here that we are watching play out. And not only that, we are participating in the most epic moment in all of human history. So hold the line, Patriots. Trust the plan. The very best is yet to come. All right, everyone. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. You can let me know in the comments. Please take a moment to hit that like button if you did. Also, please take a moment to follow me on the different platforms I'm on. Right now, I'm on Rumble, BitChute, and Podbean. I'm also on Truth Social and Telegram. You'll see links in the description to follow me on those two platforms. And you'll also see links in the description to support my work if you are so inclined. Please consider becoming a patron. And thank you to those of you who have made that commitment to support my work by making a monthly donation and getting access to all of my content first. That's my way of saying thank you to all of you. Also, please, folks, check out patriotunderground.shop. I have some great items on there. I just added the baseball hats. I've got t-shirts, coffee mugs that are very popular, stickers, hoodies, a whole bunch of really cool items to choose from. Very high quality. I do believe you will enjoy them. I've gotten great reviews, so please go check it out and make a purchase. It's a great way to support my work. And God bless to each and every one of you who have. And before I sign off tonight, I just wanted to remind folks to check out PatriotSwitch.com. This is the best company out there for all of your personal and household products. This is money that all of us have to spend. Why not spend it with the good guys? Why not spend it with a company that's fighting for the same causes that all of us are? It's time to make the switch, folks. Join the more than 2 million Americans who have already done so, including myself and many members of my audience who have been extremely satisfied with the products, with the customer service, and ultimately can sleep better at night knowing that their money isn't going into the pockets of BlackRock and Vanguard. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. I'll be back soon with another report. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.